and an article called Five Ways to Get More Grateful. So this is written by a lady named Jennifer Moss, who is a co-founder of a tech company that makes happiness-boosting organizational software. And she says that gratitude is the key to a happier, higher-performing life. Of course, happiness is everybody's goal, right? As long as we're happy, and high performance. I mean, as long as you're a productive person, that's really an important value of our society too. So it's coming out here. So here's five things to do to get more grateful. Do simple things. And there's a lot of wisdom here, and I'm hoping you can actually get some ideas here to how to implement being more grateful. Do simple things all the time. Gratitude is a habit that you build. So she says, say thank you more often and smile more often. How many know that a smile can make a difference in your approach to anybody? Moss insists it can be life-changing. Secondly, talk about the day with your family. Now, here's a good plan for those of you who have got lots of families here today and you're growing families. And what do you do at supper time? I hope for one thing you eat together. When it comes to at least the evening meal. Sometimes breakfast is a bit too rushed, and of course the kids might be away for lunch. So supper time, when you're all together, talk about your day. Talk about a highlight, each of you, of your day. Report the day's highlights to loved ones, and that will prompt you to focus when we think, well, what was good for me today? You'll probably think about the good things that you did that day or that happened to you that day. The focus is more positive. You'll pay more attention to the good things and less to the bad. Thirdly, write it down. Not everyone is into gratitude journals. Not everybody's into journaling, period, I guess. But we know that we absorb information a lot easier when we write something down. And those of you who do that will realize that. So, instead of just verbalizing our thanksgiving, we actually write it down. She says that morning logging, if you write something down first thing in the day, it actually increases your productivity. And if you do something before you go to sleep, it gives you a better sleep. You'll sleep better. So if you think about the good things in your life first thing or last thing in the day, whatever, it will help you. And somebody mentioned that hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, write them down, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So it's often good to look back and realize, you know, we've got some troubles, we've got some negative in our life, but there's so many good things to be thankful for. So the fourth advice is to take it public, and that's where social media comes in. And tell your social media followers why you're grateful, or start a communal gratefulness board at work. That's an interesting idea. Put something on the bulletin board at work, I'm thankful for, and then you could even sign your name, and it might be infectious. There's this knockdown effect of people replying and sharing what they're grateful for, and it becomes a deeper experience inside the brain. Okay, all these things we do helps us to remember the good things that happened. Just this week, my nephew, who was married 4 years ago, on his anniversary, complimented his wife and how thankful he was to have this beautiful woman in his life and what amazing mother she was. So he was complimenting her online, and what does it do? It causes a lot of people to press like, right? That's a good comment, and maybe even to share something that you're thankful for as well. So I think it's infectious, and it blesses me to think that people actually do this kind of thing, compliment each other publicly or on social media. The fifth thing is to show random acts of kindness. Now, this is a novel idea that I think is just great. Do things without people knowing that you're doing something good for them. And this is, you know, we have different opportunities. I mean, you've got to be creative to in order to do that. Somebody suggested, well, you know, you've got somebody in the lineup behind you, and when you're finished paying for your Tim Hortons coffee, you say to the cashier, I'm going to pay for whatever the person behind me is going to purchase, and then just sort of get out of the way and let that person say, well, somebody's paid for your coffee or whatever. I don't know the easiest way to do something like that, but, you know, just an idea. We have always get a lot of Christmas gift catalogs from many different charity organizations. Here's a way to do random acts of kindness. We got one from the Leprosy Mission of Canada. And you look through this and you see the people who are so unfortunate with what leprosy does to them and their bodies and their families and everything else. And so you can help them by purchasing different ways that you can help them. World Vision and MCC. And we'll get probably a two or three more. So we'll leave these at the back of the church, and at Christmas time, and spending all the money on yourself and your kids and your family, spend something on somebody who doesn't even know you, something that you can do for someone else that is a random act of kindness. It just shows your gratitude for what you have, and it spills over into somebody else's life. When we are myopic, inward-facing, and more selfish, we tend to miss how good our lives are, says Moss. But when we look forward or outward at what we can do for others, it refocuses our gaze. In other words, buying coffee for the stranger waiting behind you in line can make you more grateful. It can make you feel grateful. Here's a couple of other ways to be more grateful. People who write or even just think about what they're grateful for are happier than those who focus on the negative. Practicing gratitude can lead to better sleep, a stronger immune system, and lowered blood pressure. How about that? I suppose studies have proved this. People who express gratitude to their significant other feel more satisfied with the relationship, and their partner does too. I'm sure there's wisdom in all of those ideas or statements. Thankful people are contented people. Contented people are happier people. Happier people are healthier and more productive. Happier people are more fun to be with. Thankful people are more fun to be with. Thankful, grateful. Being thankful, being grateful implies there's someone to be thankful to, right? And one of the persons who was writing in this article says, I try and focus not only on the things, the material things that are so good in our lives. We're blessed with many material things. We often take them for granted. But mostly the people, the relationships. So we can thank people. We can thank people easily for what they do for us, how they bless us. We can praise them publicly, whatever. But what if it's, you know, a little more nebulous than that, and the things we're thankful for, we can't necessarily share that with a person? Where does this good gift come from? Do we thank our lucky stars, which is a statement that we have probably all heard, or do we realize that there is a giver of good gifts? And there's a scripture that talks about that in James. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. And one of the things that comes out in many different Psalms is being thankful for the sun that shines and the rain that falls. And so these natural things God gives, and every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Now, I looked into the Gospels to see how much thankfulness was expressed in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not a lot. not a lot of people were very thankful. Jesus did many, many things for many people. You wonder if the people, the 5,000, the 4,000 that were fed plus, said thank you for their meal. You wonder about that. It's not mentioned. Many people were healed. Did they say thank you? Can you think of one instance of Jesus having done something where somebody said thank you? Sheila? The ten lepers, and one came back and said thank you. We're going to read that. That's the only situation in the entire four Gospels that talks about being thankful. Now, Jesus gave thanks for food. He thanked his heavenly Father publicly. Every time he took bread, he thanked for it, and then he broke it and he gave it away. But as far as people being thankful, there were different reactions. I think there were several instances where when Jesus, I'll just mention them specifically. The paralyzed man that was healed, when Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk, the people who observed praised God. So they praised God for what they saw. They weren't just amazed, they praised God. Two blind men who were healed, what happened to them? How was their gratefulness shown? They followed Jesus. A demon-possessed man who was healed and came back into his right mind, he said he wanted to follow Jesus too when Jesus delivered him of his demonic oppression. And Jesus said, don't follow me, but go and tell all the good things that God has done for you. So he stayed where he was and he went around telling people all the good things that God had done for him. Two men born blind, two blind men, they also followed him. And the man that was born blind, that's talked about in John chapter 9, it's a whole chapter devoted to the story of a man born blind. He didn't even realize who the person was who had healed him, who had made him see again. And there was big controversy. But when he did meet Jesus, he found Jesus and he worshiped him. So he probably expressed his thanksgiving. Worshiped in that case probably mean he fell down at Jesus' feet and thanked him. So one of the ten lepers, Luke chapter 17. We'll just read the story. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. He was sort of an outcast. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to them, rise and go, your faith has made you well. So this is the one man that gave him thanks. We said the Lord's Prayer today. There is no mention of saying thanks in the Lord's Prayer, but we know that we, from the epistles, that there's a lot of encouragement to give thanks in our prayer. So I'm sure that Jesus did that, but that was not part of the Lord's Prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances. And we all have gone through various circumstances, even this past week. Can we give thanks in all circumstances? Years ago, there was a man who wrote a book called From Prison to Praise. Who remembers Merlin Carruthers? And he wrote about the idea of actually thanking God and praising God for the difficult things, for the hard circumstances. And that was a really novel and sometimes offensive idea to many of the people that he talked about, but he explained it. And There's an interesting story about Corrie ten Boom, who was the Dutch lady, along with her sisters and father, who harbored Jewish people during the Second World War. And when they were interned in a concentration camp in Ravensbrück, they were in a flea-infested barracks. And Betsy, who was Corrie's older sister, very saintly woman who ended up dying there, she said, "Corrie, we've got to give thanks for these fleas." And Corrie could not give thanks for the fleas. How could anybody give thanks for these fleas that were with you all the time, destroying your life, just making such life so miserable along with everything else that was going on? But eventually Corrie realized that because of these fleas, they were not bothered when they took out the Bible and they read from the Bible and they prayed and encouraged each other, because the people who were supposed to keep them under control and take away anything like a Bible would not come into the barracks because it was so flea infested. So she realized there's a reason to give thanks. So that really makes us think. This last week I went for a haircut, so on my way to Jan's place, I noticed these fields that were flattened by the snow, and really flattened. The snow was wet and heavy, there was wind, and there's a lot of crop out there that's flattened. And I came to their place, and Bruce is in the house. I said, "Bruce, what weather we're having." He said, "Yeah, I haven't even been out down the road to look at things," he said. But he wasn't complaining. He said, "I always remember a statement that I heard from Sulu Kumpainen, who was the stepfather of Fran Talbot." And I'm sure this was a quote from somebody else, but this is what he said. "I complained I had no shoes till I met a man who had no feet." So that was his attitude, and Bruce seemed pretty relaxed about it. You sometimes don't know what's going on inside, and I think maybe Jan was carrying a little more anxiety about, you know, everything than him. But what do we do when something like this happens? Can we give thanks in the circumstance? And I know people here are definitely affected by what's happened this past week. And it's no light thing when it's your livelihood. Can we give thanks for the circumstance? What is God doing? What is God? Whatever we go through always affects our hearts, our heart's attitude. God wants to do something within us. There's a psalm, there's a verse in a psalm that I find pretty amazing. The only trouble is, in my new NIV, it's translated differently. It's apparently a difficult passage to translate. So in the old NIV, this is the way it read. "He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God." I'll just read that again. "He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way that I may show him the salvation of God." So it's like giving thanks prepares our lives, prepares ourselves for God to do more for us. And we realize the word sacrifice is in there, sacrifice of thanksgiving. They actually had sacrifices that they did for a Thanksgiving sacrifice in the Old Testament. So they would have an animal or something that they would sacrifice, something that they owned, something that they that cost them something. They would sacrifice as a way of saying thanks. Sometimes saying thank you is a sacrifice. Not easy. And is a bit of a sacrifice. But God has something bigger in mind than perhaps just our living, our income, the weather, whatever. When we are, I believe that's true whether it's a difficult passage to translate or not. I believe that is a true statement. Giving thanks prepares the way for God to do something in your life. Salvation. is not just a one-time thing. It is and it isn't. We are saved, but we are being saved. God is at work transforming us, taking the yucky things out of our lives, not just once, but it's a lifelong process that we continue to be conformed to the image of Christ. Christ is formed within us, and so he uses many things. And he prepares us sometimes when ingratitude or bitterness or anger or resentment surfaces, we can actually trade that for something better, for contentment, for thanksgiving. And then God does something in our life that continues to change us more and more into what Jesus was like. Does being thankful aid in this process of transformation? And I'm saying yes. If we're closed, we're probably bowed down, looking at our circumstances, negative, resentful, bitter, angry. We close ourselves to what God may want to do in our lives. If we open ourselves up to what might you want to do through this difficult circumstance and give thanks in it and for it, believing that God works in all situations, we actually open ourselves to the good things that God wants to do in our lives. So I want to conclude with some very familiar verses from two epistles. First of all, Philippians 4, 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Last Sunday, I talked about delighting ourselves in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. When the Lord is near, it's like he's involved in our lives. He wants to walk with us. He wants to do things for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And does it make a difference? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So our hearts, instead of becoming hard and bitter and resentful, are guarded with the peace that God gives us in these tough situations. And one more verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Three short verses. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We prayed, let your will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven, what you want, what your desire is. This is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we're very aware that we face situations difficult and not so difficult, unexplainable, harsh, all kinds of experiences, Lord, that present us with a test, whether we're going to trust you, whether we're going to continue to believe that you are good, as we sang today, to believe that you are on our side, that you can use whatever, even the negative things that happen to us, the troubles, to bring the yucky stuff up in our lives so that they can be dealt with and given to you in exchange for your peace, for your joy, for your contentment, for thanksgiving, and for optimism as to what are you going to be able to do with this. We believe you to be good, and you are on our side, and you love us. And so we believe that whatever you send our way, You send with good intent. You allow with good intent. So, Lord, we're just going to give you all the situations today that we find hard to trust you with. The weather, the crops still out there, family situations which are difficult, disease, sickness, death, old age. Lord, we can name other things. We just want to allow you to do in us, form in us the beauty of Jesus as we experience these things in our lives and realize that being thankful, being grateful to you, the giver of all good gifts, does make a difference. Bless us as we think on these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.